1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And now, America's foremost conservative talk show host. It's the Colonel Buck Negro Program. Call our line at 1-800-BUCK-NEGRO. That's 1-800-I-LOVE-YOU. That's 1-800-I-WILL-NOT-BE-MOVED. That's 1-800 if you love Negroes, you love America. And now, Colonel Buck Negro.
Thank you, Tiny Johnson, and hello. Good evening to the Colonel Buck Negro Program. I will not be moved.
He will not be moved.
You saw the president last night. He was very clear. I don't think he could have been clearer. Saddam Hussein's time is running out. Now, we're going to be talking about that on the program today, along with a lot of other things, including some of the things that I've been seeing in the news. Susan Sarandon and the Chinese are planning on going to the moon.
They're going to the moon.
Now listen, friends, if you go to the Colonel Buck Negro website, you'll see that we've got a lot of things in our souvenir shop, and I'd like to pick up on the Colonel Buck Negro Mount Up or Shut Up coffee mug. That's right. If you like the Colonel Buck Negro pendant, you can get that too. It's got the little American flag that says, I will not be moved.
He will not be moved.
Also, if you like, take a look at the Colonel Buck Negro t-shirt, and on the back it says, Saddam Hussein can burn and rot in hell. It's a great shirt for kids to have. Or the Colonel Buck Negro capri slacks. Right there on the side it says, I love Buck.
I love Buck.
Or on the other side it says, I love Negro.
I love Negro.
Yes. The Colonel Buck Negro bathrobe is also there. On the back it says, Bucket.
Bucket.
All right. Now, my very good friend Colonel Oliver North sent me some clippings about last night's speech. I think President Bush is right on top of it. I think he couldn't be more on top of things. I think he couldn't be more on top of it if his hips were thrusting up and down and there was loud moaning going on. He's on it, all over it, and won't get off of it with a crowbar. Now, Susan Sarandon and her pals is entitled to her opinion. And I would be the last person in the world to say that Susan Sarandon and many of her Hollywood friends are not entitled to their opinion. But if it were up to me, I would take Susan Sarandon, drop her out of an airplane from 500 feet onto asphalt.
Now the Colonel Buck Negro phone numbers. 1-800-COLONEL-BUCK. 1-800-COLONEL-BUCK.
Thanks, Danny. We will be getting to the phone calls. But I'm just one man. I'm Colonel Buck Negro. And that's my opinion. Colonel, phone calls now. RJ, how are you doing? Welcome to the Colonel Buck Negro Show.
Oh, man. You say... you crack me up, Colonel Negro. You always say everything that I'm thinking about.
Thanks a lot. What's on your mind?
Colonel Negro, I thought President Bush's speech was good, but there was an area there that I wasn't too clear about, and maybe you can help me, because I'm a longtime conservative. I'm conservative from way back. Nobody's more conservative than me. Adolf Hitler isn't more conservative than me.
I understand. I know exactly how you feel. I'm the same way.
So, can you help me with something? In President Bush's speech last night, he talked about, and if I'm getting this correct, he said he wanted to give money to gay blacks. I think that was in, what, Africa or...
Yes, I heard him say that. He wanted to give money to people afflicted with AIDS.
Well, I don't get it.
What don't you get?
What are we giving money to fag college for?
And why, you racist!
Well, Colonel Negro, I really like you!
Get him off the air, you filthy, scum-of-the-earth racist! I won't have any part of that in this program! Get off the phone and stay off the phone! Now let's get back to my campaign to eliminate Martin Luther King Day. You know, I can't stand these communist-influenced blacks! Cheating on their wives! The only black that could cheat on his wife and still have my respect was Sammy Davis Jr.
More phone calls coming up at the Colonel Buck Negro Show in just a moment.
Hi, everybody. Colonel Buck Negro here. Listen, I know you feel the same way I do. You'd love to see an ICBM come sailing right into downtown Baghdad and turn that whole thing into a marvelous new parking lot for a drive-thru. But you know, it's not going to happen without your help. Send me $4.99, and I'll send you the Colonel Buck Negro I Will Not Be Moved mug. This coffee mug can be filled with anything. Water, coffee, orange juice. You can even put milk in it. Things like that. Any liquid can be contained in this coffee mug. Isn't that great? And when you have it on your desk, people will say, wow, that's a Colonel Buck Negro mug. And you'll say, yeah. And they'll go, anyway, could you get these reports done by 3? So be sure you send away for the Colonel Buck Negro coffee mug. And while you're at it, send away for the Colonel Buck Negro capri pants, the bathrobe, and, of course, the Colonel Buck Negro silk smoking jacket. It's something that all good conservatives want. And if you'd like, the Colonel Buck Negro thong and the Colonel Buck Negro I just want to be with the guy's briefs. That's right. And the Speedos are good, too. Plus the socks with the Birkenstocks. You love those. It's all the Colonel Buck Negro stuff. Did I mention the short terry cloth robe?
And now back to the Colonel Buck Negro program.
Now onto the world front here on the Colonel Buck Negro program. Get a load of this. I saw this in the news today, and I thought I was going to pee myself. Now, I don't know where these people are getting off. They're already trying to stonewall us in the United Nations with this whole Iraq deal. And we may just have to neutralize them before the day is out. The Chinese are planning a space launch in October. Oh, yeah? Who said you could? Who gave you permission to go into outer space? And let me tell you something else. Hear it and hear it good. The moon, that's ours. Huh? I see a zipper head on the moon, and there's going to be some problems like you've never seen. Now, my friend Jack Palance, the great actor, is here. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good, Buck.
All right, Jack, come on and tell the zipperheads what we're going to do.
My name is Jack Palance. Now, you listen to me and you listen real good. I see you put your greasy yellow hands on the moon. And I'll take this grenade, shove it down your throat, and pull the pin.
All right, thanks a lot, Jack. You got it. Jack Palance says it for all of us. Any zipperhead, any slope, anybody with the funny hat and a rickshaw tries to go to the moon on my time? Big trouble. That moon's red, white, and blue, baby. Red, white, blue.
Keep your greasy yellow hands off the moon with Buck Negro.
Thank you very much, singers. Don't forget to get your little Buck Negro sipping cup, of course. And now, one more item here, and I think this is disgusting. That lady, one of the chicks on that Joe Millionaire show. You know this show, this program that has the good-looking guy? Sure, I believe in having fun. And let me tell you something right now. I believe a man should be a man, and a heterosexual guy should have a lot of fun. But I don't like the fact that Joe Millionaire, there's something about the guy that looks fey to me. Curly hair and a horse, I don't know. Now we find out that one of the women that is trying to get in tight with this guy so she can get his millions was in bondage movies. Now, I want to say unequivocally, because I know the rumors started as soon as they said this broad was in bondage movies, the rumors started. No, I did not produce any of them. I know there was talk during my past life when I was regrettably involved in production of snuff and golden shower movies. I did a bondage film with her. Well, I didn't. And I feel vindicated.
He used to do golden shower movies, but he never did any bondage with her.
Thank you very much, singers.
He's Colonel Buck Negro.
Now be sure to send away for your Colonel Buck Negro leather mask and ball gag.
Leather mask and ball gag.
Colonel Buck Negro, be back next week here on the Phil Hendry Show.
It's really Phil doing his voice.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Go to our souvenir shop and pick up the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, the official Phil Hendry Show shirt, and now, brand new, just in, just off the truck, just dropped right onto the pavement, 500 feet out of an airplane, the official Western Estates Association Country Club polo shirt. This thing is a beautiful, beautiful item. It's the one that I'm most impressed with. It's a polo shirt, so it's short sleeve, has that nice little two-button placket, and with the right kind of pants and shoes, you'll look like you belong right down there at the News Cafe in South Beach. Now, anyway, no, it's nice. It's slightly gay, but no, you can look. If you have a woman with you, you look all right. In any event, it's got the Western Estates logo on it. It's 100% cotton, navy blue, features a well-knit collar and cuffs and a two-button placket, and it's yours. It's yours just by paying the price, and I'm not going to tell you what it is right now because I got so many people in my audience who, you know, I wouldn't mind buying a shirt if it was $80. Uh-huh, yeah, and so what?
Well, are you kidding me?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'll drop the price just for you.
Well, I can't afford it anyway.
Look, I'm going to charge what I'm going to charge. If you can pay it, you can. If you can't, you can. Comes in medium, large, extra large, double extra large. It's a great-looking shirt. It's brand new. It was designed by Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Now, you know and I know you can't get into Western Estates, neither can I, but at least we can wear the shirt and make it look like we belong there. So pick it up. It's on our website right now. And our website's philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Thanks for being on our program with us today. I'll give you a little bit of an update. The Phil Henry Show, as you know, is a program that I do a lot of funny voices and stuff. And anyway, NBC approached me about a year and a half ago to write a pilot, write a script for them, and that I have done. And, of course, it's very funny. Some people think the process is a lot quicker than it is. When we announced that we had a deal with NBC, it went out all over the – it went on the wire services. And it, like, within 2 weeks, my radio friends are going, so, did you do the pilot yet, or does it take a day to do, or what? No, I got to write it, man. Well, when are you going to write it? No, it takes a long time.
All right, well, then you do it, and then you'll be done?
What are you talking about, man? Shut up.
No, they say you did a pilot. Oh, I know. You did AHA. Is that your pilot?
No, that isn't my pilot. Somebody else's pilot.
What do you mean by pilot anyway? Like a guy that flies an airplane?
No. So anyway, we finally wrote it, and we like it, and we gave it to the network. And now we wait to see whether it becomes a pilot, whether it's actually going to be shot. And that's just the next step. Then the step after that is, does it become a series? So they take their time. All networks, they really take their time before they put a show on the air. And it shows, doesn't it? I mean, after it gets through about 100 people, it's just like barely recognizable from what it probably was originally, isn't it? They are so afraid, these television networks, of stiffing a project, of bombing, which, of course, they, you know, everybody does. You can't do a perfect show every day. But they're so panicked that they're going to stiff something that they put it through 9 million people. So from the time you actually present an idea to the time that it actually gets on the air, it could be a year and a half, 2 years, because there's a 5 million people that got to look at it. So right now, our script is being looked at by 5 million people. And if we're lucky, and it's a real long shot, if we're lucky, they'll come back and they'll say, yeah, make a pilot. And then, if we're doubly lucky after that, then they'll say, yeah, let's make a TV series out of it. So just so you know, just so I can update you on this, right now, they're just deciding whether they want to make a pilot out of it or not. And the chances are, I'm going to tell you this right now, because I'm a realist, and I've been in this business a long enough time to know how things are done. The chances are they're going to make this into a pilot is slim to none. I got a better chance of growing hair back. I have a better chance of sprouting wings. I have a better chance of flying to the moon nude without any pressurized equipment or any jet engine, just flying nude to the moon. Of just me standing and flapping my arms and flying without any clothing on and landing on the moon and having a picnic and coming back. I got a better shot of doing that than of NBC making my pilot. Just so you know, because I'm a realist. I have a better shot of standing out here on Ventura Boulevard and having Craig drive 90 miles an hour into me and then walk away just kind of brushing the dust off than of them making this pilot. So I'd say the chances are pretty good. Now, anyway, no, it's a long shot, but that's where we're at right now. And, you know, I talked to my wife on the phone today, and I said, well, you notice it's been like day three and they haven't called us. She goes, well, that doesn't mean anything. I said, we are dead. Oh, stop it. No, we're dead. Dead. Just like the guy in Malcolm X. Red, you are dead, dead, dead. So we'll see what happens, but I'm betting it ain't going to happen. I'm betting forget it. Forget it. But that's okay, because I've seen myself on television, and I don't think there's too many things more frightening than looking at me on TV. By the way, February 4th, I'll be on AUSA. Watch it. Starts at 9:30 Thursday night, AUSA, Richard Appel Show. 1-800-449-8686, here in the Phil Henry Show. emails from philhenryshow.com, and if you'd like to email the show, you can at phs@philhenryshow.com. I'd buy a couple of your shirts if they came in 4X. That's right, 4X. I live in a cabin outside of Fairbanks, Alaska, and subscribe to your site since it started. So how about it? Not all your listeners are little pretty boys like you, Phil. Tell your shirt supplier to make a few 4Xs on the next run, and I'll buy them. Reeves. Some Ted Kaczynski writing in a cabin outside of Fairbanks. He wraps himself in raccoon skin, but if I make a 4x, then he may buy it. 4X. Now, we got 2X. That's about as fat as it gets around here, and that's what I wear. Here's another guy that writes. Is there any way to get bigger shirts in your souvenir shop on special order? I am 6'3", 350, and I want a shirt, but double XL is for people like Henry who are TV fat. You know, they look plump on TV. I am manly fat. I look fat always. Anyway, I was looking for 5XL or something like that. By the way, I'm the little filmmaker. I think this is the guy that made that Phil doll in Florida. 5X? 4X? You guys are 4F, as far as I'm concerned. I made the double X's. I remember saying to my very dear friend Debbie, make a couple of, we got to get double X. She goes, why? I said, we got fat slobs listening to this show. What are you talking about? Why? What do you mean, why? Well, I don't understand, Phil. What are you, nuts? Look at me. Well, aren't you an X? No, I'm a double X. Now, there's guys bigger than me, so we got to get it going. So, thank God Debbie went out and she made the double X's. Now I got guys writing in, they need the 4X. I got a great idea. Here's a real concept, and you guys should try this. It's called a turkey burger. Try that one on for size. You want a 4X? Huh? Try this. Try eating blackened tuna sandwiches for a change instead of your usual 4x at In-N-Out. No candy, no cookies, no cakes, no pies, no, you know, start with the fat-free yogurt and the fruit. That way, you won't need the 5X. Try yourself a grilled chicken sandwich. That blackened tuna sandwich, by the way, is a great idea for those of you who are on a diet. You can do like I did a week ago. I went in and I got a blackened tuna sandwich at a seafood restaurant, and by 8 o'clock that night, I was puking pure liquid into the toilet. Why? Food poisoning! It's food poisoning. Here's a guy in Alaska that has himself a blackened moose for breakfast, and he wants the 5x shirt. Guy goes out, has himself, shoots a moose, because it's like shooting a Volkswagen, drags it back into his car, back into his house, cuts a big hunk of meat off of it, throws it in the frying pan, then asks me with a straight face, can you make me a 5X? Well, the answer to your question, sir, is an unequivocal, I'll try. I can only ask, but I don't know what Debbie's going to say. 1-800-449-8686. What did you guys think of that speech last night from President Bush? Did you see it? How many of you actually saw it? How many of you actually understood what you saw? How many actually had an opinion of what you understood? And how many actually had an opinion that was an educated opinion after you understood what you saw on the TV? See, the lines are not even lit up. So that answers that. 1-800-449, I just thought I'd ask. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
U.S. said it would try to help find a haven for Iraqi President Saddam Hussein and his family and close aides if he would agree to leave Baghdad. We would try to find a place for him to live. That would be one way to try to avoid war, said Colin Powell, who is our Secretary of State, at a press conference as President Bush talked tough on Iraq. And he rejected calls from war opponents to let inspectors deal with Saddam. So they would try to find a place for him to live, maybe next door to you. You know, we do that, this country, when we find places for these guys to live. Where was that guy, not Noriega, the other guy, Somoza? Didn't he live in Miami for a while? And the Shah of Iran, he came over here before we couldn't stand it any longer, and we told him to get out. I think we sent him back to someplace. What place would keep some scumbag like that? Oh, I know, Switzerland. Anyway, you know, they come here for a while. But I'm watching this thing on TV last night, and I also heard some of the comments from the United Nations ambassador to Iraq. You know, that little guy with the comb over? And not that I'm going to make a big deal over the fact that the Iraqi ambassador has a comb over, because there are bigger issues at stake, but it is a little silly looking. I noticed it, and he, for a guy living in America and being exposed to American culture, doesn't he know that that's kind of dumb? I would be prone to attack any country just for that reason alone. You bring a guy like that in here? First of all, get rid of that ambassador with that glue over. Get me someone I can talk to without laughing, and maybe we can talk. But you guys send over a guy with a glue over, and we're on the verge of war? But he's the man. He can talk to... Oh, bug off with that. He's the man. You know we're coming in. You know we're coming in, and we're coming in hard and heavy. Hard, heavy, armored, infantry, the whole thing. So let's talk turkey, baby, because that cat with that glue over and those wire-rimmed John Lennon glasses, that ain't getting it done for me, you, nobody. But the guy did say one thing. He says it's oil fever. Now, I understand. I know what Iraq is all about. And don't doubt for a second that those guys haven't been in bed from one minute or another with Al-Qaeda. Now, that reason alone is enough for me to go in and oil, grease, ice, whatever lubricant you care to use, Saddam Hussein. September 11th is reason enough for me. I don't know about anybody else. That's all I need. Some people need inspectors and they need the UN. That's fine. Do whatever you got to do. My reason, 9/11. That's all I need. Go in, kill. However, some people don't want to do that. They want to wait, right? Now, this guy, Hussein, has got all this oil over there that he's doing business with Russia, France, and Great Britain on. And you can't get away from it. You can't get away from the fact that oil has motivated every single solitary problem that has ever happened down there. Yeah, I know the guy's a dictator. He's a scumbag. But what do you think happens when you colonialize a part of the world and then you leave it with these sort of puppet states, these artificial states? Look, I'm not saying the guy's right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm wrong. Don't get me right. I'm just saying. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you have colonized a part of the world for 500 years and then you leave, what is left is something like children who are left to their own devices. They run around with chocolate on their face, taking sticks and hitting things. They put their fingers into wall sockets. And when you try to pick them up and put them to bed, what do? They scream and yell and they cry. That's exactly what happens when a formerly colonized part of the world is suddenly allowed to be free. Okay, now you have democracy. Go. Well, it's like leaving a child. You're free now. Child's not old enough. Does it sound, if this sounds too hegemonist or Machiavellian, let me know. But I think I'm dead on. Same thing happened in the Caribbean. Look at the Caribbean right now. An area of the world that was colonized for several hundred years before finally in the 60s, you began to see these movements toward free and independent nations down there, the Bahamas, Jamaica, and other spots. Well, what do you got down there? You got a lot of these little countries that, like a child, they run around with their thumbs up their asses, and they're not sure, you know, how to do this and how to do that, and there's a coup here and a coup there and a coup everywhere. Well, same thing with these guys in the Middle East. Anybody that's got kids, it's kind of like hearing a group of kids screaming and yelling and pounding on the door. You finally got to go up there and tell them to shut up, which is essentially what we're having to do in the Middle East. We got to go down there and go, shut up! Because Hussein and Syria, Assad, and the Taliban, and those guys with the bed sheets. It's like some goofy kids' Halloween party. That we got to go down there. We got to go. All right, everybody to bed.
No, wait a minute. I want to.
No, no. Everybody to bed. Take off the bed sheet. You get off the bed sheet.
No, you will not do it. I am.
Yeah. I know you're Muslim and all that crap. Go to bed now, all of you. Brush your teeth too, especially you, Taliban. Your freaking breath. That's what we got to do. That's America, because we're a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Now, in comparison to other nations, of course, we're still kind of an adolescent country. We're a teenager country. We're about 18 years old. So we're full of piss and vinegar, flexing our muscles, kicking ass. But we do have a youthful sense of identity, and we look to the future, not to the past. Unlike countries like France and Germany, all they can do is look over their shoulder. They look back to the great days of the Kaiser and of Marie Antoinette, because they got no future. They got no future. All they can do is look over their shoulder to the days when it used to be really great. Guys would walk around in powdered fright wigs, and they oiled their mustaches, whatever the hell they did, and shoved snuff up their nose, and diddled little boys. That was the glory days of France. This is America. We're young, we look ahead. Now you got all the ragheads down there going ape. You got that guy strutting around with his beret and his mustache, gassing people and running his big fat mouth. We got to go down and we got to shut the guy up. But it all started with our need for oil. And I said this a few months ago, and I think it bears repeating. We got to get out of there. We got to get out of there. We got to get off that oil kick. Now, I don't care what it takes. Now, that's why I think this Huffington woman, I think she's got something. These SUVs, they are a real rolling pile of crap, aren't they? And I'm saying this, I'm a guy that owns one. We got to get these hybrids going on. We got to get these electrical cars happening. And if we got to drill for some of that juice in Alaska and two caribou get a, you know, the croup, I'm sorry. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is we got 150,000 American men and women down there right now, all of whom could be killed. Why? Because you don't want to drill for oil in Alaska. That's why. Finally, Bush, whose family is in the oil business, and a lot of conservative Republicans, they're finally seeing the light in this thing. They think we ought to get out of there. That used to be their forte, man. This whole bilateral relations with small countries and small dictators for the benefit of American wealth. Can't do it anymore. Can't do it anymore. We got into bed with the wrong guys. Now we got these guys flying planes into buildings, killing people. You can't do it. These people are not trustworthy. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Not a one of them. Only ones down there that I trust are the Israelis. That's the only country, and you may think I'm wrong, and you can think whatever you want. I don't care, personally. But for my money, I'm going to trust the Israelis. Those are the only guys I trust. Those are the only guys that are in any way, shape, or form a friend of ours. They're the only people that got a society that even remotely resembles ours. Those are the only ones. Believe me, if you want to put your money on a winner, you put it on the Israelis. You don't put it on that scumbag Arafat and the rest of those bedsheet-wearing, oil-sucking, cigar-smoking, horse-race-buying, white woman-marrying, going to Disney World, shopping at Tiffany's, buying Harrods, raghead, dictator, theocrat, totalitarian, maid-slapping jackasses with their spoiled harem wives. Well, we got to do, and I know, I know. I'm a racist, right? Yeah, sure. You don't even know what you're talking about, man. I know what a racist is, and I ain't it. I just was knocking a type of lifestyle, which is chosen. Got to get out of there. Make our own oil, make our own juice, whatever we got to do. Get the hell out of the Middle East once and for all. And when they finally chill out whatever it is they got going down there, which will be in like a million years, maybe I wouldn't mind going down and staying in a hotel there. I hear the Caspian Sea is nice this time of year. Nice this time of year. All right. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This guy, what's his name, Scott Peterson? If I see him on TV one more time, I'm gonna rip my satellite dish down. That guy ought to be, if he thinks his wife is missing, then go out and look for her. I see her kiss her on Good Morning America, you fat, oily slob. Go out and look for your wife, or turn yourself into the police. One of the two. But if I see you on television one more time, I'm going to pitch liver bile. Getting so tired of looking at him, talking about how he misses his old lady. Oh, do you really? You mean she's dead? Do you know something we don't know? So far, there's a lot of people who think she's alive. They're out looking for her. Maybe you ought to be doing the same thing, fatso. Good Morning America had him on. What did they ask him anyway? I didn't even see the thing. Did they get some typically morning show hard-hitting questions? Yeah. Did you kill your wife? No, I did not. If it was me, I was, well, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Well, I think you did. I think you killed her. It's my opinion. I'm entitled to have my opinion. I think you killed her, and I think you buried her in San Francisco Bay, fatso. What do you think of that? I would have provoked a fight, something, anything. You want to duke it out with me? I'm big and tall. Yeah, well, I'm pretty fat, too. I'll match my stomach with yours. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That Scott Peterson guy, in my opinion, has got something he's hiding, because no guy goes on if he's in fear of, you know, the safety of his wife. He doesn't go on and say, I had an affair with this woman, and, you know, she wasn't worth it, and I never should have taken up with her, and she's not worthy of me. I mean, that was basically what he said. He was somehow putting down that lady, the woman that he had the affair with. If you're a guy who really wants to find your wife and you are in fear for her life, you probably say something along the lines of, geez, you know what? I mean, I'm sorry I did it. I hurt her. I hurt this other woman. I mean, all I want to do now is find her. But this thing, this guy got on this TV show, it's all about him. Him and his big fat life. Scott Peterson, the husband of the missing pregnant Modesto, California woman, called his marriage glorious even though he was cheating on his wife. In part two of the interview with ABC's Diane Sawyer, Peterson said he still remembers when he fell in love with his missing wife. Even now, after he admitted that he told his pregnant wife about his affair. Peterson claims they had a good marriage. God, the first word that comes to mind is, you know, glorious. I mean, we took care of each other very well. She was amazing. She is amazing. Ooh, Scott. Ooh. Kind of a little tip-off there, baby. She was or she is. The 31-year-old husband says reports that he took out a $250,000 life insurance policy over the summer are misleading. We do have life insurance policies on both of us in the same amount, $250,000. They're an investment vehicle. I think they're termed a whole life insurance or something that we started when we bought a home 2 years ago. In response to a rumor about blood being found in one of the Peterson's vehicles by investigators, Scott said such a discovery would be normal. I mean, these are vehicles that both of us are in on a continuous basis. I know for a fact there'd be plenty of blood in there from me. You know, I work on farms, and you can take a look at my hands now, and they have cuts all over them. I didn't know they found blood in one of those cars. During his interview, Peterson said he told police on Christmas Eve about his affair. But after the interview, police told ABC that wasn't true. They said they learned of the affair on December 30th when Fry, a single mom from Fresno, contacted them. Is he going to be on John Walsh tomorrow? This guy Walsh is much better than these other morning show people. I think he'll ask him some better questions. You know, what is it with you? Did you kill her or didn't you? What do you mean she was and she is? And how come you're got a smile on your face all the time? And what are you opening up command centers in L.A. for? Of course, you know, it's very interesting. There was an article yesterday about this missing child in Salt Lake City, right? And I started to say, it's funny how we pretend like we care about kids in this country. It really honestly is. We have serious debates in Congress over just how much money we ought to spend on keeping children from starving to death. We have serious debates. There are people on the other side of the line constantly debating this. You know, we have a real mixed feeling about kids in this country, but by God, every time there's a newspaper article out about a kid missing, we just act like we are just so upset. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Billy. Hello?
Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
Yeah, love the show. Hey, listen, you were talking earlier about GW. I had a point to make. What I loved was the expression on the Democrats listening to the speech.
What?
What I loved was the expression of the Democrats' senators who were watching the speech.
I'm a Democrat.
Well, regardless, you're for the war. I mean, listening to your, you know,
so
your
what's that got to do with
them?
What's that got to do with Democrats?
Well, because for the most part, most of them seem to be opposing the war, and I believe the reason for that is they realize that the war is causing all this apprehension and the stress in the economy, and the longer they can put this off, the harder it's going to be for the economy to get going, and that benefits them politically. I believe that they have that is their agenda.
What do you mean?
Well, very, very simply, if the economy suffers, they have a greater chance of defeating GW in the next election.
Yeah, I know, but how does the economy continue to suffer if there's no war? You telling me that a war will make the economy better?
Well, no, because companies like today in the Wall Street Journal, they were talking about an article about one company, Nova. It's like a petrochemical company. They make like
plastic. I don't understand what you're talking about. They want to put the war off to make the economy bad? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in other words, if we have a war, the economy will get better.
Well, if we have a war and it's successful and it's taken care of, then they're going to know, because right now people don't know if oil's going to be costing $80 a barrel or $20 a barrel.
So in other words, Democrats don't care about America. They just care about getting elected.
Well, the ones in the leadership of the Democratic Party.
They don't care about America. They don't care how much we suffer. They just want to get elected so they can control the country. For what reason?
Put themselves in power.
So they can just sit there and be in power. But the country, it doesn't matter what happens to that.
Well, what they want, you know, I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're being unpatriotic. I mean, they want
sure
things to go well.
That's
for the
exactly
country,
what you're suggesting.
But they want to be in power
when
it's
exactly
when it
goes what you're
well.
Suggesting. You're suggesting that they don't care how badly the country suffers; they just want to get elected. And
well,
anybody that believes that has to believe it equally about the Republicans. Because if you think Democrats play those games, then you have to believe Republicans do too. And I can prove it. I can prove it. Because
okay.
That's called politics, all right? But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Democrats don't love their country and Republicans don't love their country. I just don't think too many of those guys are very bright. That's all. And very courageous. Just brains and courage is all we're talking about. It's not necessarily they don't love their country. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking with Bob McGraw of McGraw Travel. So continue with your point, Bob.
Phil, the war in Iraq, which President Bush is proposing, is going to be over. And after that, Americans will want to travel to that country. What McGraw Travel can do for those people is introduce them to the country where the Bible tells us the Garden of Eden was. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, the Garden of Eden, traditionally, at least according to legend, was in Iraq. What McGraw Travel will do is introduce Americans to this very lovely country, being run by a dictator now, but when he is gone, this is a country that Americans need to see. And we are going to introduce people to Iraq to see the artifacts, to see the archaeological sites, and especially our senior citizens, people who don't have a lot of time left in this world, people who want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who want to walk in the footsteps of Adam and Eve. And it is interesting to contemplate that Adam and Eve were Arabs, or at least were Semitic people. The Garden of Eden, at the Tigris and Euphrates River, is right there in Iraq, and McGraw Travel is going to introduce people to that.
All right. Now, you were on a number of television and radio shows earlier this week for a reason, right?
That is correct.
What was that reason?
Well, Phil, it's just a legal question, and that's all it is. I want to get on as many television shows and radio shows as I can so that I can let people know that this is my idea and this is a copyrighted idea, so that when the war with Iraq is over and tourism starts up again in Iraq, that I am the one that they go through to travel to Iraq. I will have exclusive rights to this. Now, this is just a legal question. I don't want, it really doesn't concern the people that are listening to the program right now. It concerns other travel agencies, but I will have exclusive rights.
So you're saying that your travel agency will be the only travel agency people can travel to Iraq to see the Garden of Eden?
Yes, that is exactly right. And the reason for that, Phil, is simply this. It was my idea, and legally, I do own the idea. I was on a couple of radio shows earlier in the week, and I did a couple of television programs. I also mailed myself a registered letter with the idea in it, so I can prove that I had this idea before anybody else. And the idea is a solid gold idea. I can be in touch with a number of hotels and restaurants in Iraq, and we can start allowing Americans to see this country when the war is over with, because the war will come to an end, and America will win it. But what are we going to do after that? I think there's a great tourist opportunity.
All right, let's talk about this. You say the elderly ought to go to Iraq to see the Garden of Eden. Because they're approaching the end of their life.
Yes.
And to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Was he in the Garden of Eden?
I don't know if he was in the Garden of Eden or not. It's a figure of speech, Phil. It's a religious site, the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm going to open this travel agency. There will be a place where people can book travel to Iraq following the war to see this beautiful country. The Tigris and Euphrates rivers are in Iraq. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, it says the Garden of Eden was at the Tigris and Euphrates river. So they can book this trip through me, and it'll be a fantastic experience for especially our elderly who are going to die soon, and I would hate to, like heck, if I were old, to face God and have him ask me, you had the opportunity to go to the Garden of Eden, why didn't you do it? And I think it'd be a tough question to answer.
All right, we're talking with Bob McGraw. He's formed a company called McGraw Travel. After the war with Iraq is over, you will be the exclusive travel agency for travel to Iraq.
That is correct.
Now, I don't know how you can claim that you are the exclusive, that no other travel agency can take people to Iraq. How do you do that?
I don't understand your question, Phil.
How can you be the only guy that takes people to Iraq?
Because, Phil, the fundamental idea was mine. My idea first. I thought of it before anybody else. I've been on radio and TV programs talking about it. So when the war with Iraq is over and they begin to promote tourism to that country, I will be the exclusive travel agent for the United States to Iraq.
But you're saying you're going to be the only guy that can take people to Iraq. Why? Because you said so?
Because it's my idea, Phil. And because I've been talking about it, and so therefore, if it's public information, it becomes copyrighted. So it's my idea. And again, it's only a legal question, and I don't know how much time you want to spend on this, but since it's my idea, my travel agency is the only one.
All right, well, let me ask you this. What makes you think people are going to want to go to Iraq?
Why are they going to want to go?
Yeah, why are people going to want to travel to Iraq?
I'll tell you why, Phil. The same reason why they wanted to see the ovens at Auschwitz, the same reason why they wanted to go to Normandy, the same reason why they wanted to go to Hiroshima, and on top of that, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Tower of Babel, all of the archaeological sites, and the Garden of Eden, which is a biblical site. People are going to want to go to Iraq the same way they want to go to the Holy Land. People want to go to Iraq the same way they want to go to Egypt. It is a historical place. It's a beautiful place. And we are going to afford them the opportunity to do this for the very first time in I don't know how many years, once this war with Iraq is concluded. Because I will tell you right now, I'm looking beyond the war. I'm looking to a time when there is peace and a time when there is an opportunity to expose people to one of the world's beautiful spots. And no one, and let me repeat this, Phil, no one will be able to go to Iraq without booking through me. Because since you asked this question, you have...
Well, you're hitting that one.
No, but I want to make... Everybody should know, I have the exclusive rights. I'll tell you when and how you go to Iraq. I have the exclusive rights. Then you can go, but only through me. Because it was my idea.
All right, Bob McGraw from McGraw Travel. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I imagine you're going to get some challenges from other travel agencies.
Well, I think they're going to be wasting their time, Phil, because they can challenge me all they want. But it was my idea. I'm the guy that sends people to Iraq. If you want to go to the Garden of Eden and walk in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, if you're a Christian or any other kind of person who's interested in this kind of thing, the only way you get to Iraq is through me after the war is over with. I thought of it. It's my idea.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, the war with Iraq has not taken place yet, Bob.
No, I understand that. But I want to go public now and let everybody know that they need to get their hands off of this. The travel business is mine, because people are going to be crawling all over themselves trying to get a piece of Iraq. I mean, come on. You got oil business. You got the farmland. And let me tell you something else. What's great about these countries that we defeat in war is once they're defeated, when you go over there as a tourist, they are very friendly people. They hop to it. I went to Germany and I went to Japan recently, and these are two countries we defeated in a war, and they hop to it. They get your bags, they get your drinks, they get your coffee. The Iraqis will be the same way. Once they're defeated in a war, we can go over there, get coffee, have drinks, have people carry our bags, and those Iraqis will hop to it and do it because they want to make us happy. Now, and let me tell you something, the Iraqi is going to be one hell of a vacation spot and one hell of a vacation partner. I think this is a golden opportunity, great restaurants, great nightclubs, and because they're a defeated nation, the women are going to be very friendly, and the men understand their place. You go down there and you tell them, look what happened in the South. We beat the South in the Civil War. You go down there now, they're friendly. They know their place.
You know, the more you talk, the women are going to what? The women are going to put out?
I'm not saying put out. I'm saying it's a defeated country, and it's going to be a great place to go as a tourist. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Bob McGraw is with us here from McGraw Travel. Go to Iraq after the Iraqi war, but you can't get over there unless through him. Our number here is 1-800-449-8686, because Iraq has the Garden of Eden.
According to Genesis, yeah.
Now, you have the exclusive rights to travel to Iraq, so the only way people can go down there will be booking through your travel agency. And you think that after Iraq is defeated, they will be a much more friendly people?
Well, I understand they're friendly now, but once you beat them in a war, then you have a country where the people need to get along to go along. There's an old saying, Phil, you got to get along to go along. And when you beat a country in a war, the civilians there really want to make everybody happy. They really want to go the extra mile to make you feel like you're welcome. Otherwise, they're afraid for their own safety. Now, I'm not...
Well, you don't want to scare these poor people.
I'm not proposing we scare them. I'm simply saying let's take advantage of the good nature of a defeated people. And that's why I brought up the South. After the Civil War, those people needed all the money they could get. Go down there on vacation now, and they're the most gracious people.
Well, I don't want to go into the South.
But it is true.
All right, well, Bob, you've been on television and radio, and you're trying to get this idea copyrighted. Bob McGraw's travel agency, he's the only guy that can take you to Iraq after the war. It's his idea. You stand to make a lot of money, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're trying to muscle people out of the travel business in Iraq?
No, I am not, Phil. I'm simply saying it was my idea. My idea. So you can't go to Iraq unless you travel through me. Me, Bob McGraw.
All right, well, it remains to be seen whether anybody's going to want to go to Iraq.
Hey, believe me, Phil, there's a lot of people who want to go down there and see the Garden of Eden. That's where it is. And there's a lot of people who want to go...
Well, I don't know. It remains to be seen whether anybody's going to want to go to Iraq after a war with Iraq. Even if you say that the women are going to be looser and the men know their place. And I don't think it's very complimentary comparing them to the South.
Well, the South was a defeated nation. I'm trying to give an example.
Why would anybody want to go to Iraq? You say they want to go to Iraq the same way they want to go to Auschwitz. Nobody wants to go to Auschwitz and party. They go there to see it, and then they want to leave.
Well, they're going to want to go to Iraq, Phil, because for the first time, it'll be a country they can get into and see, and all of the wonderful museums. The women are beautiful. The nightclubs are fantastic. Believe me, they will want to go to Iraq. But you can't go...
I know, unless they go through you.
That's right. It's my idea. My travel agency, I'm going to be the one that will control all travel to and from Iraq after the war. Come to see me, nobody else.
Really corner the business, huh?
This is a country that will do anything to please tourists. Believe me, you're going to want to go there. After we beat them into submission and...
I got it already. All right. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if anybody out there is interested in going to Iraq after the war to see the antiquities, to see the artifacts, to see the tourist spots. Bob McGraw is the guy whose travel agency is going to handle it. Now, I don't know how a guy can legally say, you got to go through me, but he said it was his idea first, so he gets the business. And he sent himself a registered letter. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. There's also this notion that when you beat a country down in a war, the people become much more amenable and friendly and will want to get your bags and fetch you a drink, and the women are more agreeable, and the men know their place. All right, our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show, and our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, now I want to ask you a question here. I got Bob McGraw on the line. You're asking for $1,000 deposit.
Yeah, if you get $1,000 deposit into McGraw Travel, Phil, we will insure your spot on the first ever trip to Iraq through McGraw Travel. Now that means, especially you senior citizens, you'll have an opportunity to go to Iraq to walk in the footsteps of God. The Garden of Eden, Phil, we are told in Genesis.
Yeah, I know you told me in Genesis. You told me six times in Genesis that the Garden of Eden is there.
Well, you don't understand that this is important to people who are religious. It's important to people who believe in religion.
It's important to people who believe in religion how?
Because that's where God invented everything, I guess. I don't know.
Are you religious?
I am not a religious man, no.
So you don't really know what the Garden of Eden is?
All I know, it's a place in the Bible, where God invented the world.
Well, God invented the world. He invented man and woman in the Garden of Eden, and you're telling me it's in Iraq.
Look, Phil, I don't know, but the Christians know what I'm talking to, and they'll want to go to this, or Jews, or whoever believes in it, Muslims, I don't care. You don't even have to be religious. If you believe in the Garden of Eden, you're going to want to go to Iraq and see it, and especially our senior citizens. That's why I'm saying get the $1,000 deposit in now, and that will reserve your spot. No one will be able to take your spot on our first ever trip to Iraq.
And when are you leaving?
We hope to leave sometime in mid-2004.
So you're figuring a war with Iraq is going to be over with by then. There will be a civil administration in place in Iraq by then that will facilitate tourism.
Absolutely. Not a problem at all.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, this Mr. McGraw is off the wall if he thinks he's going to get full rights to tourism. There have been
from the United States.
International carriers
from the United States
carrying people there in previous years, both archaeological digs and everything else, and he's going to butt heads against international agreements between Iraq and the international community, and he's going to find himself at a loggerhead. So that's my answer to
Mr. All right, well, let me have Mr. McGraw.
What is proprietorship?
All right, hold on. Are you going to hang up now?
No.
All right, Mr. McGraw, do you have a response?
Well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about because there hasn't been any tourism in Iraq since the economic sanctions have been in place. None, zero, no commercial aircraft, nothing. And so I can guarantee you that there is no real international agreement with Iraq in terms of tourism. Once we open the door, I will be the guy because it was my idea.
That's not going to hold any water whatsoever. Not only that,
what are you talking about? Hold water?
There are anti-war protesters just recently arriving in Iraq to voice their support. I'm not one of those people.
Well, they're going
to
Canada.
That there's free freedom of travel to Iraq even now, despite the sanctions. So he's got his information
Those people are going from Canada. They're not traveling from the United States. I'm talking about travel from the United States.
They You're still not going to have sole proprietorship on that. I'm sorry.
And if anybody traveled there from the United States, then they're in violation of my copyright, and I can sue them.
You're not going to get a copyright, so forget it, buddy. Have a good day.
They're not going to get any hotel or food unless they book it through me. See, that guy is pissed. because...
Yeah, well, he's angry. No, he's not really angry. He's just saying that you are breaking the... You got no right to the sole travel of individuals to Iraq.
It was my idea. I thought of it.
You thought of it? Great, it was your idea. You know...
But I copyrighted it.
How?
By going on all these TV shows and these radio shows and also sending myself a registered letter.
So you sent a letter that said, hey, I got a bright idea, I'm going to go to Iraq and I'm going to, you know, be the only guy that takes people there.
Right.
Well, you know what? I don't know what the legality is involved, Mr. McGraw, but it's a very strong possibility that if and when tourism is once again, promoted and is once again a reality for Iraq, you're going to see all kinds of airlines, all kinds of different agencies sprouting up all across the landscape. They're all going to be promoting tourism to Iraq, and you're going to have to file a hell of a lot of lawsuits.
Let me explain something to you. My name is Bob McGraw. I started in this business 30 years ago as a great salesman. Anybody tries to steal my ideas from me, I will sue them back to the Stone Ages. I'll sue them so they bleed. Nobody takes my ideas from me. And you're suggesting that people will know that it was my idea and they'll go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah, people will know that it was... No, they're not going to know it was your idea. Nobody's going to accept it was your idea. Tourism to Iraq. That's like me saying, you know what? I think I'm going to promote tourism to Mongolia, and it's my idea, so I'm the guy.
Right, I would agree with that.
You know, and you want to know something? I'd be about as successful as you promoting tourism to Mongolia as you will be promoting tourism to Iraq. Good luck getting anybody who wants to go to Iraq for any reason for a long time.
What, are you telling me there's no reason to go there?
There's no reason to go there now, and there won't be any reason to go there in a year and a half, even if the Garden of Eden is there.
But it says so in the Bible.
I don't care what it says in the Bible. And the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You know what, man? It's going to be a long time before anybody's going over there chilling poolside, having himself a drink, and digging the entire thing that is Iraq.
What about Iraq Disney?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Iraq Disney. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
All right, we got Art Griego from yesterday's show. He's a retired airline pilot who has a teen action program that if kids are going to go out and seek out pornography, he would rather that they watch it at home with their parents. That's what he does with his 16-year-old daughter and her friends.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I went to college, all right, and I got a master's degree. Most of the parents...
Who cares, buddy?
Most of the parents around here... Are still working
matter.
For the cable company.
It now, doesn't I, matter.
It does,
that doesn't matter.
Look, how do you explain the effects of drugs when they've already used the drug? I can explain the effects of pornography to a variety of teenage girls. And
this whole thing about it being teenage girls.
Let me ask you this then. Hold on. Wait, I've been listening to you, Art. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If your daughter brings over Sally and Sally comes over and watches porn, you explain to her. Sally comes by tomorrow and she wants to know more about porn. Is she watching porn, different porn all the time? Or are you letting him watch porn once and you're saying, look, this is the deal, you shouldn't watch it.
These kids are watching it all the time. These kids are watching it all the time.
And you find that acceptable?
No, I do not, but they're going to do it anyway.
Your daughter doesn't wake up one morning and say, Dad, what is crack cocaine? Because you know why? You're college educated.
I'll explain it to her. I'll tell her what it is. I'll tell her what it is. I'll tell her that it's bad for you and you shouldn't smoke it.
Okay, well, then why don't you say the same thing about porn?
Because they're going to go
in. They're
going to go out.
You're a college educated freak.
How do you figure I'm a freak?
Because you're a freak. You know, no one in their right mind would let children come to their house and watch porn, especially if their parents don't know about it.
If you had a daughter, I don't know if you have a daughter or not, sir.
I do have a daughter. I have two daughters and I have a son.
You could feel safe knowing.
And I agree. If my children came home and said, what is cream in the corn or tea bagging or. You know what?
My daughter. I'll tell you what.
Apparently, I'm not doing a good job as a parent to let them hang around those people.
Your daughter would be completely safe with us because the kids get scared when they watch pornography. They don't know what it is.
You know what? People are a product of their environment.
Scared?
If they're going to sit there and watch porn over and over again, there's going to be a time when they stop getting scared. It's like smoking a cigarette. You smoke a cigarette, you get a little buzz, you kind of get hooked on it. It's the same thing. You're a freak.
No, it's not the same thing. Cigarette goes directly into your blood.
You're a college-educated freak.
I'm college-educated. Most of the parents around here
never
got out of third grade. Well, what are they going to say to their kids?
What does that matter? My grandfather never got out of fourth grade.
He
has plenty of money.
What do you have in
common
with him?
It doesn't matter.
What do you have in common with him? I mean, I find myself holding these girls during the movie because they're scared. Just putting my arms around them.
Holding girls.
Wait a minute.
Dude, if I came in and you were holding my daughter watching porn, first of all, I'd kick your ass, and secondly, I'd see the hell out of you.
Wait a minute, you're kicking my ass, why? Because I'm trying to comfort her?
Because you're a freak.
Because I'm trying to comfort her?
Wait a minute. You're watching
porn. I hope to God your daughter don't wake up and want to know what crack cocaine is. Think about that.
I've thought about it, and I'm way ahead of you. I'm way ahead of you. I got a college education.
Look, wait a minute. You're holding these kids because they're afraid?
Yeah.
Why not just not show them this garbage?
Look, only a college-educated man like myself would ever teach a young lady the true meaning of the word buckoki.
Huh?
Again, I think your daughter's hanging around the wrong person. I think that wrong person is you.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Whatever that was. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. And when you go there, get that backstage pass because you can check out our comedy archives and our 30-day archive and our webcast archive and a number of other archives. Everything's just archived there on our website and, of course, our souvenir shop. That's philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So here's one of the reasons why I don't really want to live in Europe. I know a lot of people want to live in Europe. In fact, did I hear my wife tell me this morning as she crawled back into bed with me after taking our daughter Catherine to school? It might have been a dream. It might have been a nightmare. I don't know. But I thought I heard her say that Susan Sarandon and George Clooney, they're going to move to France. Did you hear this? Because they're really down with the French? Anyway, this is not about France, but it's just about living in Europe. One of the reasons why I don't want to live in Europe is, look, I'm just going to say this, and you tell me what you think or not. They now have male fashion models that they fit with fake breasts. Guys walking down runways wearing phony boobs underneath their sweaters. Okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to be around that. I choose as a free man not to be around that. A guy with fake boobs. Because that will become a fad. You just guys will show up at parties with breasts. Actually, as a gag, it ain't bad. But on the runways of Paris, and wouldn't you know it's Paris, or maybe it's Spain. It's one of those freak countries. They got guys going down, they got breasts. Anyway. But, you know, they're so forward-thinking over there, man. They're just so forward-thinking. They really got it down. I know, guys can grow breasts. Why not? We get this genetic engineering thing going really good. Maybe we can have, you know, female genitalia, and we'll just all have sex changes. How about that? It's an aesthetic, I suppose. It's some kind of a, it's like the DTs. This is fashion if you have the DTs. 1-800-449-8686. So another thing we were talking about this morning, I said to my wife, I found this videotape that my son was looking for. And she said, well, what is it? I said, well, a friend of his was in a movie. And apparently she did a nude scene. And he's been looking for this movie, and I found it. And my wife's, oh, my God, well, what are you doing? I said, no, wait a minute. And here's the conversation I'm actually having with my wife. It's healthy, honey. It's okay. It's all right. It's healthy for a young man to want to see a girl nude. No, wait a minute. I'm not saying that. But why would you encourage? Well, where did you hear this? He told me we were sitting at dinner one night, and he said that a friend of his was in a movie, and she had a nude scene, and he wanted to get a hold of this movie. In fact, all of the guys wanted to get a hold of this movie because they all know this girl. I said, what's the name of the movie? And he told me. And I looked it up. And I found it, and Amazon's got it. So I sent the link to my wife. I said, here's the link to this flick that he wants. Can you, you know, use your better judgment, but go ahead and send that on to him. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm being a man. I'm being a good male role model. He wants to see her nude? What am I going to say? She's a girl that he knows. And frankly, she's, you know, a little bit older than him. I think she's like 18 or 19. So it's not child porn or anything like that. It's this chick that they knew who went into college, and she did a movie, and she's nude in it, and he wants to see it. So I said, what's the name of it? He told me. I found it on Amazon. And my wife is, well, I don't know if that's really such a good idea. I said, you know what? It's a very normal thing for a young man to want to see naked women. I don't know where it started. I don't know how it began. It's a little weird, but for some reason, guys, when they hit about 12 or 13, really, really want to see women without their clothes on. In fact, for some guys, even younger than that. Well, do you think it's right? Do I think it's right? I mean, is it right to have to go to the bathroom? I guess it's natural is what it is. I don't put any moral judgment on whether it's right that every morning after a healthy breakfast, I go into the head with a sports page. I don't know if that's right or wrong. It's just I got to do it. I'll tell you that. It's just, it's a normal thing. And, you know, if this is a girl that all the guys had the hots for and she was in this flick, it's going to be a normal thing. They're going to want to see her. So anyway, here's the movie, and let's check it out. So I got, you know, Janice is overhearing this conversation, by the way, laughing her ass off. What the hell could he possibly be talking to his wife about? Honey, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with looking at naked women. That's the side of the conversation she heard. You know, just chill, just ease back. It's going to be fine. Everything's just going to be fine. Let the guy be what he is. He's a guy. I'm not saying you bring it into the house. Just like I've always said, you don't bring it into the house. You can't have it, you know, you're not slipping it into the video machine and watching it late at night. You wouldn't believe the number of times that I come home and I turn on the TV only to find it on Cinemax. And it's like one of those 10:30 Cinemax shows, raw sex. And I don't watch Cinemax, at least I know I wasn't watching Cinemax last night, but it's on Cinemax this morning, and I look up the TV guide, and there it is, raw sex, or I don't know what they call it. It's like, you know, real flesh. Cinemax. So my two oldest sons are checking out the soft porn. Is it freaking me out? Hell no, it ain't freaking me out. Am I going to go beat them within an inch of their life? Maybe, but not for that. Totally normal, man. You know, I grew up in a house where, I'm telling you, my mother thought that sex was a necessary evil. You know, she was a old, and when I say old, I mean she was old school English Canadian. And she just came from this line of thought that sex was a necessary evil. And it wasn't talked about, certainly. And so we all grew up. At least I did, and probably my brother, and most probably my sisters, we all grew up that it was just really an embarrassing thing. And it's just, it's a very generational idea and attitude. So when I finally got enough money to go to Mexico, I went hog wild. My brother, before he shipped out in the Navy, he had syphilis. I mean, he did. Poor guy.
you know, I'd rather have been a little bit more of a healthy introduction into life. So this is a healthy way of doing it. I'm not going to make anybody feel guilty about it either. And that's just the way that's just where it's at. But we found this porn laying underneath his bed. I said, you know, dude, you got to have this stuff like someplace other than here. So give it back to the scumbag that gave it to you. And I'm not even going to look at that videotape. It better be legal stuff. It better not be underage stuff. And then the other thing that we're thinking about telling these guys is, and by the way, we reserve the right to go into the, do you guys go into the history of your kid's computer? How many of you guys out there look at your kid's, the history on your kid's computer? We don't do it. We don't do it because when I was a kid, my parents were nosy as hell and they stuck their nose into everything. They looked through private papers and private communications I would have with the Soviet embassy. And, you know, they're always sticking their nose through my stuff. And I hated it. I hated it. And they were always walking into rooms without knocking on the door. And so as a parent, I always knock before I walk into a room. And I never, ever compromise the you know, what these guys feel is their privacy. But I'm starting to think it ain't such a good idea. You know? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to say where and I ain't going to say when. But let's just say I have knowledge of a teacher that was fired for having an improper sexual relationship with a student, right? Okay. This is a big deal, right? Like, this is America. When does that not happen? However, here's the part that sort of got to me. This teacher was having email communication with this student, right? Unbeknownst to the parents, right? So I asked the question, I don't think it was a stupid question. I said, since when do teachers have email communications with students without parents knowing about it? Since when did that start happening? Since when? I don't care what it's about. I don't care if it's about grades. I don't care if it's about, I don't care what it's about. Since when does an adult who isn't the kid's parent have an exclusive email communication with the kid unbeknownst to the parents? So if you're a teacher, now look, I don't want to come off sounding like Adolf Hitler here, man, but believe me, if you're under 18, I'm sorry, it's a concentration camp. You're just going to have to live with it, all right? You got to, once you hit 18, you can do anything you want. Under 18, you got no rights, man. You got no rights. You're in prison. You're in prison, and it's bread and water, if you're lucky. Then, maybe, I'll let you out, you can mow the lawn. Then, maybe, you can have a hit on the old man's beer. But other than that, so when you're a kid, and that's all there is to it. I find out some teacher is emailing these kids, so I said to my wife, when did that start? She goes, well, they email the kids about homework. I said, I don't give a crap what they're emailing them about. I want to know about it. Well, I mean, it's very innocent. Oh, is it really innocent? What about this guy that was doing this thing with this girl? Well, I guess you have a point there, but so I don't know who's emailing these guys. I don't know. I have no idea. And since I don't want to go into the computer and be nosy, so anyway, I said to my wife the other night, I go, you know what, it's got to stop. It's got to change. We got to start. But I will say this. I'll go to the guys and I will say, just so you know, we reserve the right to go into your computer and check out the history and check out the email. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't trust you, because that's the first thing you get. Well, what's the matter? Don't you trust us? Yes, I do. Then why are you going to our computer? Because I trust you to be young. I trust you to be good. I trust you to be moral. I trust you to be a good person. But you're also young. You're also young, which means...
What was that supposed to mean?
That means you're young and you make mistakes, man. You're going to, like, stick your foot in a pile of manure every now and again. And I'm the guy that's got to come along and hose it off, okay? So,
Well, you still don't trust this.
Yes, I do trust you.
Well, then why would I have a communication like that?
Because you don't know, man. Some adult could con you.
Well, you think I'm going to the porn site?
No, I don't think you're going on a porn site, but I think that maybe, who knows, something got hyperlinked. I want to know what's in your computer.
No, it's just about trust. You don't trust us.
All right, think what you want, man. Think whatever you want to think. It ain't about not trusting you. But at least I'm saying it up front. I'm going into your computer. Sometime I may go into your computer. I ain't saying, you know, that it's going to be tomorrow, but just so you know. So I need your password. You know, so I need your password and your email address and everything else. That's the whole thing. That's what we're living with, man. But other than that, these guys can run hog wild. I don't give a crap. They can do what they want. They come home with a decent, you know, report card. I don't care. They can stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, as far as I'm concerned. Do the freaking schoolwork. Get it done. Get that 4-0. You guys can stay up till 3 in the morning watching anything other than the porn, other than the Cinemax porn channel. Because when you hit 18, Jim, man, you can live on, you know, you can live in garbage. You can eat nothing but McDonald's. Have fun. Have a ball. The other thing we're doing, when they hit 18, we're kicking their ass so far out the door, you ain't even going to believe it. They're going to school. They're going to live there at school.
Well, how come we can't come home?
You can come home on the weekends.
Well, why do we got to live that way?
So you guys can get a real noseful of what it's like being out there in the world, having to do your homework while your roommate comes in and flicks the light on and off, having to try to get some sleep while your roommate comes in and farts in your face, and all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah, man, it ain't going to be like it. You know, you're going to find out. Don't worry about it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, the official Phil Henry Show website featuring today and evermore, the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. It's brand new. It's in our souvenir shop. Buy it. Buy it for the Phil Henry fan and your family. Buy it for you. Just buy it. It's philhenryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
So with the winter formals are coming up, right?
That's right, Phil. Winter formals. This is time of high schools have winter formals. And young guys, are a lot of them have self-esteem issues about asking girls out. Not all of them, but some of them do. And that's why we started this Teen Tip Hotline. Because the Teen Tip Hotline helps, I think, these guys. There's a lot of kids who are driven to suicide. And that's another thing that we want to do is try to prevent suicides.
I mean, the suicide rate among teens is pretty high, but you're saying a lot of this is young men with self-esteem issues asking girls out?
Yeah. I mean, you get guys who are rejected by young ladies, and they don't, you know, they don't know how to ask a girl out, and they feel frustrated. They have insecurity issues. We help these young guys deal with issues of depression and how to ask that girl out with being afraid. I mean, we walk you through the evening. We give you a couple of ideas of something fun that you can feel better about yourself. I mean, because you have to understand, a lot of these girls can be pretty cruel. And so we tell the guys how to ask these girls out and maybe have a little fun with them, too, at the end of the night, kind of get back at them. But it's nothing to...
Well, what do you mean, get back at? You mean the girls who are cruel to the guys?
Well, I mean, if you ask a girl out and she says no, and she, you know, made fun of you or, you know, gave you the cold shoulder or wouldn't, you know, take your phone calls or whatever, you might want to have a little fun with her, that's all. But the number one thing we're trying to do, Phil, is save the lives of these boys who are suicide prone.
All right, so help me through this. A young man calls your tip line. He's depressed. He asked a girl out to the winter formal, and she rejected him.
Yeah, well, what we do, we tell him to try again, promise her a special night. I mean, one of the things you can say to a girl is, I'd like to take you out in a limousine, and most teenage girls are going to absolutely go for that. I don't know, there's a teenage girl out there that doesn't want to go out in a limousine. So that pretty much sometimes does the trick. And once you say limousine, she'll say yes. So then what you do, most important thing you do, is don't act like, you know, you just worship her. I mean, play a little hard to get yourself. What we recommend, Phil, is when you go to pick her up, I do not recommend bringing a flower or a corsage or anything to give her, because most girls are going to expect that. And when you give a girl a flower, she figures she's being chased. So when you don't give her the flower, then she's like there's something wrong. Maybe you're not chasing her. Maybe she's not doing something right. The other thing we recommend, when you pull up in a limo, you don't have to jump out of the limo and go to the door. Have the driver honk, and you stay inside and have her come out. That establishes power.
All right, you're telling a young guy to, when he takes a girl out for the winter formal, to have the limousine pull up.
Have the limousine pull up.
All right, and if any guys are listening right now, have the driver honk, and she'll come out.
That's correct.
All right, now let me tell you where that's flawed. As a father, I may want to meet this guy.
Well, then you're going to have to come out of the house to meet him, because, look, you have to understand as a man, Phil, what this young man's trying to accomplish. I mean, sure, you can appreciate that, right?
I mean, well, yeah, I can appreciate that.
All right, so you got to help him out. And the father of the young girl, I help this guy out. When you hear the limo horn honk, just get up, you know, for whatever it is you're doing. It can't be that important. Go out and meet the kid. I mean, it's not too much to ask. And bring your daughter with you. Because what we're trying to do is save the life of a young man who is suicide prone, and he's trying to get his self-esteem going. So,
all right, so he stays in the limousine. The girl waits for the honk, and then she goes out.
Then she goes out, right. And again,
well, I can appreciate what you're saying, but I'm still a father.
Then do the kid a favor and come out to the limo. Once you're in the limo, say hello to the boy and everything else. All right, now, when the girl gets into the limo, what we recommend for the boys to do is not to comment on her outfit. A lot of guys make the mistake and they go, "You look really nice tonight," and all that, and it's so predictable, and girls expect to hear that. Don't say nothing. Wait for her to say, and every girl will say it, "How do I look?" And then you have to say the following line, and I don't know if your listeners want to get a pencil or...
Okay, if any guys listening, get a pencil or pen.
All right. And a lot of the young men listening, they want to get a pen or pencil, so say this. When she asks how I look, say, "You look fine," because this is another place where she may think you're chasing her. Don't say you look great. Don't say you look, "Oh, wow, you're so beautiful." Just say, "Yeah, you look fine." So, you know, there's a little bit of question.
So you're trying to make her feel insecure? I mean, I don't know. I understand.
Well, there's a little bit of question in her mind whether, you know, believe me, Mr. Henry, I've been with a lot of women. I mean, a lot of women. And I know women. And if you over-compliment them, you know, it's wrong. So just when she says, "How do I look?" just say, "Yeah, you know, great, whatever." And then ask the driver about, you know, who won the Laker game or something. I mean, pretend like you're talking to the driver. Have a conversation with the driver. Don't be all nervous talking to her. Talk to the driver. Ignore her a little bit. One of the things we're doing...
But, I mean, for the girl here is going to feel a little insecure herself.
Phil, again, you have to understand. This is a suicide watch hotline. These young men are suicide prone. We're trying to save the lives of these boys. If they can get a girl to really love them and react to them in a positive way, we can save their lives. And so if it's got to hurt some girl's feelings, you know what? I'll take that chance.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton, who has a teen tip hotline. How insecure young men should treat young women on a date. A lot of these guys are suicide prone because girls reject them. He has a suicide teen tip hotline that prevents these young men from killing themselves. It gives them confidence on how to treat a woman. Our number is, or in this case, a young girl, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Chris, so far you've said don't give her a flower because she's going to think you're chasing her. Don't go to the door to pick her up. Have the limousine driver honk the horn and she should come out.
That's correct.
Should he get out of the car and open the door for her?
No, I would not have the limo driver do that. That's why you have the limo driver do that. And it looks cooler. It looks cooler.
All right. Then you say, as you're driving along, when she asks, "How do I look?" say, "You look fine," but pretend like you're engaging the limo driver in a talk about sports scores.
Right.
All of this to make the young man feel more confident, but it also makes the girl feel worse.
No, it does not, Mr. Henry. It makes the girl feel like she's in the company of a man who has power. And that's the most important thing about making a young man not commit suicide.
All right, so how about when they get to the dance?
All right, once at the dance, don't, you know, cling to her all night. You know, have her follow you around as you go from group to group talking with your friends. Don't cling to her. Don't hang on her. And here's something, Phil, that women find very exciting, and I want guys to get this. They don't like men to edit their conversation if it gets around to sex or anything vulgar. If you're talking to your friends, don't edit yourself. Say MFF, the C word. That's a fallacy that women don't want you to say the C word. They sprinkle your conversation liberally with it.
And you're kidding.
No, it almost gets them hot. I mean, it really does. So you can't...
The C word gets them hot.
No, I'm just saying, they don't want to think that you're being some panty waste not talking honestly.
All right. So now you're talking, and you're not hanging on her, but you're making her follow you around the night for the night.
That's correct. The other thing that's very important is to leave her for 20-minute periods to sneak a drink with your friends, or if you want to come back a little tipsy, that's better. You're in a limo, so it doesn't matter. Remember that, guys. Since you're in a limo, it doesn't matter if you have something to drink because you're not driving a limo. And if you go on sneak out back and have a taste with your friends and then come back, you're a little tipsy. It's kind of sexy for girls to see their date because it's manly to be able to hold your liquor, and women like that. Now, this is a lot of this sounds extreme, but again, we're trying to stop this young man from feeling rejected and depressed, Phil. That's the most important thing.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton. He's with the Teen Tip Suicide Prevention Hotline on how to be confident around a young lady this year at your winter formal. You have talked about now something that I think is a little wrong. You said go out and have a drink with your friends.
No, but you're not driving. You're not driving.
And so you come back tipsy and the girl feels what?
Young ladies think it's sexy. They're all talking about it. They'll say, oh, Bobby and Bruce came back and they look like they're rat-assed or whatever, man. I can't believe it. Oh, and they'll talk about it because it's sexy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Heather on the Phil Hendry Show. Heather, go ahead.
I think your comments are moronic. I cannot even believe that you think this is something that's going to help these kids.
I don't know about a young lady. I'm trying to save the life. I'm trying to save the life of a young man.
Yeah, you know what? You wouldn't have to protect it, because if he treats my daughter that way, I would kill him.
You'd kill him for what?
Because he's treating her like an animal.
Wait a minute. You wouldn't treat any human being like that, and that's stupid.
You'd treat him like a man.
This is perfect. She would kill me because I didn't give her kid a flower.
No, you know what? It's not about a flower. It's about human decency. You don't treat somebody like that.
What are you talking about?
And maybe the reason you've been with so many women is because you don't know how to treat them.
Look, if these young men, you know something, lady? I leave them. They don't leave me, number one. Number two, if you kill a man because he brings a limo to your house and he doesn't open the door for you, you're criminal-minded and maybe you've got bigger problems. And number three, did you actually go to a prom?
In fact, I have several. Yes, I've been to several proms.
Really?
And no, my father would never have allowed somebody to beep for me.
Well,
that's not only disrespectful, but it's stupid.
You know, I would be interested to know how you treated men.
Very nice, you know what? A man that treated me that way would never have a second chance.
Well, we don't really know.
Which is probably, again, why you've been with a multitude of women.
Here's the bottom line, Heather. We don't know whether you're worth the second chance anyway, so have a nice life.
Well,
you know?
Sweetie, all right,
okay,
you must
guys.
Not be, because you've been through plenty.
Yeah, I have. And if you saw me, you'd go to bed with me.
I'll tell you what, I hope no young man listens to you because you're a moron.
Did you ever say no? Let me ask something, Heather.
You're a class-ass moron.
Did you ever say no to a man?
You're teaching kids to not kill themselves.
Hey, Heather.
Are you crazy?
Heather, did you ever say no to a guy?
To you, babe, I would.
But everybody else does.
This is a joke. You're a joke, and you're...
I bet you they've opened up whole three clinics because of you.
All right, thanks. What is the purpose of that?
Well, you can see, Phil, first of all, that's a woman who is reacting really angry because I have secrets that men need to have. If you don't show up with a flower, check it out. This bitch is going to...
All right, I don't want any bitch talk, okay?
I'm sorry, but this woman is getting violent. Is getting violent because you didn't give her no flower. I mean, that's something to think about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Christopher Norton. He's with the Teen Tip Hotline on preventing young men from committing suicide because they've been rejected by young women, and he's walking us through a typical evening, how a young man should treat a young woman so you feel you have power and that she will be chasing you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking with Chris Norton here, and along with Lance Germain, you started this Teen Tip Hotline to help young men learn how to treat young women. Now, you know that we've gotten some calls from people who say that it is not polite.
Look, Mr. Hendry, I got to make a comment to you. First of all, we're trying to help young men not commit suicide because they've been rejected by a young lady.
All right, I understand you're trying to help them not commit suicide, but in the process, they're honking for the girl to come out. They're not giving her a flower. When she asks, how do I look, they say, ah, you look fine, and they kind of ignore her. Is this the secret to getting a woman to like you?
This is absolutely the secret. I've been with a lot of women, and contrary to, you know, what some people might think, you know, through my choice, I have broken it off a lot of women. So I know.
So what I'm gathering here, Chris, is you are trying to get the young man to a point where he can be physical with her.
That is true. And first of all, I'd like you to understand one thing. The evening, Phil, when you take a girl out to a dance, a young man is feeling physical about her, okay? So don't make that seem like that's weird.
All right, so let's move on. Now you've got the girl at the dance. The boy has been ignoring her for the most part, and because you say that gets her hot.
That's correct, yeah.
Then what?
You have to understand that the evening is coming to an end, and I can hear you judging me too, all right?
I am judging you a little bit, but go ahead.
You're trying to make yourself powerful and attractive, that's what I'm saying.
I understand, go ahead.
All right, the evening is coming to an end. You have that last dance with her. Now, this is the point in the night where she is going to be very, very vulnerable. She is hoping that you like her. She's wanting your attention finally. You've been ignoring her for the most part through the night. This is the time to make your move. This is very important, and it's going to come to a shock to a lot of mothers and fathers. But I'm not here to save the lives of mothers and fathers. I'm here to save the lives of young men from committing suicide. This is the time of the evening when the young lady wants to feel some physical affection. So this is going to be your first opportunity, and I'm going to just use the terms that a lot of young men use, to cop a feel either on her rear end or her boob area.
Okay, this is what I mean. You're talking...
No, I'm trying to save the life of a young man, sir.
Cop a feel.
Yes, sir. And also, another thing is when you put your knee between her leg, it gives her a chance to sort of ride it. And again, I know as a father you don't...
You're recommending that the guy get extremely physical with this young lady that he's been ignoring all night?
Because this is the time when she wants the attention. And again, I'm trying to save the life of a teenage boy from committing suicide.
So this is when you cop a feel and put your knee between her legs so she can ride it.
Mr. Henry, you're the one that invited me on your show.
I just want to be clear. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rosetta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, my God, this man is sick. I know he cannot be running a teen hotline. Because this guy is having problems with women himself. And he
I don't have any problem with women. I got no problem getting women.
How
to get a lady
be rude and abusive
like
toward girls. That's why we have so many people out here now, women that are being abused by guys because they have listened to people like him.
Oh, so taking a girl to the dance in a limousine is abuse. So taking a girl to the dance in a limousine.
That's his problem. He probably
all right, hold on, Rosetta. What did you say, Chris?
So taking a girl to the dance in a limousine is abuse.
Oh, yes, the way you are talking about it is...
What did I do?
And you have no business talking about you are here to help somebody. You're not helping anybody.
First of all, I got to beat him off with a stick, okay?
You are making this kid get rejected.
Women love me. I have to beat him off with a stick.
What kind of women are they?
Hot. They're totally hot.
They must be.
They're totally hot.
Look, I don't know where you get your women from.
I get them from where hot women hang out, okay?
No.
Sorry, I don't go anywhere you hang out.
I couldn't see myself even being with somebody.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Are those your teeth, or are you just borrowing them
for
the night?
You are out here training somebody's kid how to be abusive and be hateful and hurtful, say hurtful things, or do things that are humiliating to a woman.
Aunt Jemima,
and that sounds just like a guy that does not have women in his life because women can't stand
him. Well, lady, I got a lot of
women. You're the one that's being rejected by women.
Have you got any men in your life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
really. I bet you when you take those teeth out, they really
like
love
a woman.
Hey, when you take that eye out, do you wake them up?
Like you are one stupid, ignorant fool.
Hey,
you know anything?
You know, you can always tell a fat woman there's a fat in throat.
All right, what is the point of all of this?
I would have you arrested.
Arrested for what? Giving you, I would never give you a flower.
Teach my kid how to commit suicide. How do you have to get his feelings
hurt? Here are people who are...
What kind of person are you?
Hey, can you say this? I ain't never birthed no babies, Miss Scarlett.
You trying to tell this child to go out here and insult a young lady?
No, I'm just saying, you know, she can ride his knee. All right?
And you know he's going to get beat down.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I think
he's going to get beat down for something like that.
I think the cotton needs picking,
so
you might want to...
Because the fact about it, you hate women yourself.
I love women.
You're trying to get
I gotta beat them off with a stick.
As possible. You are
hey,
one stick.
Let me ask some Rosetta. You ever rode a knee or you're afraid it crushes patella? Now, a lot of the things...
Okay, I don't...
She don't even know what a patella is, so what am I wasting my time?
All right, listen, thank you very much.
Hey, listen, Rosetta, I hear your massa calling.
All right! 1-800-449-8686. The racism that you just displayed...
Mr. Henry, she was insulting me. She was making me, you know, saying I'm teaching kids, I'm preventing young boys from committing suicide so they can have a young girl give them a little.
Give them a little, huh? A little sex?
No, I'm just talking about how young men can feel better.
So now I'm gathering here, Chris, is you're getting the young man to get physical with a young lady.
Keep in mind the goal of the evening was for these young men, and also remember this was a girl that rejected him, so you want to have a little bit of fun. And here's where the fun comes in. I want to.
All right, hold on. We'll find out where the fun comes in a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know that I even want to hear this. Chris Norton is with us. He's talking about how young men who've been rejected by girls for the winter formal or for the prom can get them to go out with them, and how you can have a little fun with them, too, at the end of the night. So far, he has said, when you pull up in the limousine, honk, don't go to get her, ignore her throughout the evening. You can even get a little tipsy. And finally, when you go to dance with her, that's the perfect time to cop a feel. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Playing a little joke could keep a guy alive. That's all we're trying to do is keep young men alive.
All right, we're back on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton, his teen tip hotline, tries to help young men who've been rejected by young ladies finally go out on a date with them so their self-esteem rises to a point where they don't want to commit suicide. I understand young guys getting lonely. I know that they feel bad when a pretty young girl rejects them, but do they have to treat the girl so badly?
It's not treating them badly, Mr. Henry. You're buying into the baloney that a lot of your listeners are laying on you.
Well, you pull up and honk the limousine horn, you don't give them a flower. How do I look? You tell them you look fine, and you keep talking to the limo driver. You ignore them throughout the evening. You go out and get have a few pops off a whiskey bottle with your buddies. You come back in. You cop a feel while you're dancing with her. You have her riding your knee.
And by that point in the evening, the point is to have the girl be hot for him. You have to understand. You have to understand. We're trying to get the girl be hot for him. It's having fun with these chicks who have been mean.
All right, 1-800, you know, you say that there's a little fun he's going to have?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. I want to take a phone call. We'll be back to that. 1-800-449-8686. Marty, go ahead.
Listen, this guy's not pro-acting suicide. He's just postponing it. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So far, you haven't said anything interesting.
Okay. You're not proacting suicide.
Oh,
you're
going to repeat the same thing.
Well, I'm on a cell phone here.
Oh, that's too bad, I guess.
I tell you what, wherever you are, somebody needs to call the authorities and have your little tip hotline investigated.
Oh, really? Why? Because I'm keeping kids from killing themselves?
You're not keeping anybody from killing themselves. You're just setting them up for rejection in the future.
Rejection in the future. I'm guaranteed to get some guys a little if they act this way, as opposed to being, you know, like you, probably giving flowers and everything and having girls walk all over you.
Hey, you treat my daughter that way. You got a big problem on your hands, and that problem is me.
What are you going to do? You going to kill me because I didn't give your daughter a flower?
No, I whip your ass if you treat my daughter like that at a formal.
Oh, because I pulled up in a limousine, you're going to whip my ass? She probably, being your daughter, she doesn't know what a limousine is.
Listen,
okay?
All you're doing is setting these guys up for suicide, and it's real sad that you're out there doing this stuff.
By loosing your daughter on the world, you're setting them up for suicide.
It's sad that you're doing this stuff.
Hey, how many guys, let me ask something. How many guys have killed themselves after going out with your daughter?
Okay, what's the point of this now?
This guy threatened me physically.
No, you treat my daughter that way. You got a problem on your hands.
Who's going to go out with your daughter, dude?
Let's use legal terms. Let's use terms like statutory rape.
Statutory rape?
Now, wait a minute. When has this guy ever said that he's raping the girl?
oh, let's see, go ahead and cop a feel, set her up, do this. What you're doing is you're degrading the girl. You're a sexist pig.
Marty.
You degrade the guy's girl got a so point. You can get in her pants.
The guy's got a point. You can't put your hands on that girl.
Wait a minute. This guy is talking like he's got a daughter that's hot. Somebody has to break in his daughter. Okay, that Ford Extra Cab's not a limo. And I'll
break in his daughter.
Yeah.
Break in my daughter.
Man, unless you did it already. I mean, I don't want to get
you're
step
sick.
On your toes.
You know, you
you're
are sick.
And
you
I
are
hope
sick.
Your team line, I hope your little Team Tips hotline gets shut down. I really do.
Why? Why are they going to shut it down,
you're the
man?
Epitome of what's wrong with this country.
Hey, wait. Let me tell you what we do at the end of the day. Okay? Because I think you're going to like this. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I'll listen to anything you got to say as long as it makes sense.
Say the kid's going out with your daughter, all right? At the end of the evening, he pulls out a box. It's a felt box, a ring box. And obviously, the young lady wants to see what's in it. And then she opens it up, and what we tell the guys to put in it are two capsules of Dramamine.
What for?
Because that helps cut down the gag reflex.
Oh, my God. You're the epitome of what's wrong with this country. Somebody ought to shut
you
down
say,
and throw
no,
you behind
you,
bars.
Then you say you're only
you need
kidding.
To go, you need to be behind bars. And
this
and
is
some
sick,
guy, some
sick
prisoner
advice.
Needs to make you his bubba.
We're trying to keep young men alive. So many of these young bitches, I mean young women, I don't mean to say bitches, but they act that way sometimes, reject these young guys. And
cuts down on the gag reflex.
You know what? You're not saving anybody from suicide. You're setting them up for suicide.
Okay, that's the
Either
third
that
time you said it, man.
Them up for murder.
You should write a book. That, you know, that's the title of it, man, so you'll never forget it.
Oh, geez. You're not saving anybody.
You're setting
I'm
them up.
I'm sorry to talk to you. I really am. You're sick. You're sick. You need help.
I'm sick, so you'd rather have your daughter gagging in a limo.
You need
Will
help.
You stop it?
You need help.
What do I need?
You need a lot of help. You need help learning just how
hey,
to
man.
Treat people in general,
Dude,
not
I don't,
just women.
I don't fly airplanes into buildings, so don't tell me what's wrong with this country,
oh,
okay?
Oh, you need help.
All
you
right.
need help. You've got a psychological problem. You're a sociopath.
Okay. How about giving me help?
You're a sociopath.
Right.
You need help. You need. You, if I was you, I'd go check myself
and
into a mental hospital
I'm not helping
somewhere.
Prevent suicide. I'm helping cause it.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Good.
All right.
You are. You're a bigger cause of suicide than anything. And if you're telling these guys
well, then
to
do me
this
a
crap,
favor, will you? Go kill yourself after you get off the phone.
If you're telling these guys to do this crap,
oh, God.
You're nuts. You're,
I'm
you're
trying to tell these guys
rocker.
So these young ladies will treat
you're
them with respect.
You're off your rocker, dude. You can say all you want. You
I know
can talk
all about
all you
women.
Want.
I know all about
BS.
Women. I know all
you're
about
off
women.
You're rocker.
Yeah?
And, you tre- and if
Maybe
you treated
you don't
my
like
daughter that way, you would have a problem on your hands. You'd be in prison.
Hey, Marty, you want to ride my knee?
Okay, look.
I want to write your name and telephone number down, and I want to find out what city you're in so I can turn you into the authorities and have your little Team Tip hotline investigated.
Okay. My name is Chris.
Now, what are we doing here?
Let me give the guy my name and number.
I want to
Go
turn
ahead.
This guy in and have him investigated.
My,
na-
my number is...
People up for suicide.
My name's
murder.
My name's Chris Norton. My number is 555...
See, now I can't even give a real
five,
number.
Five, five,
give the bogus
five.
Number on the radio.
No, it isn't.
The guy's a
How do you know it's bogus unless you dial it?
It's
You're
bogus. It's 555, you idiot. No phone number starts that way.
It's
He's a cheese ball. Get him off the air.
No, no. It's
555.
Lick my ass.
Turn this guy into the authorities. I can't even believe you guys are running this on your show.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to have
Thank
him arrested
you.
For. I don't know what the...
Hello?
Yeah? What do you want now? Let's talk to... Here's a young lady, Dana. Dana, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You're 19?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, here you go.
I'd just like to say that having just gotten done with all my dances, all my proms, everything...
What about the winter formal?
I went to every single one of my dances all 4 years.
Right.
And I'd like to say that if any guy had treated me like that, if he hadn't been hit in the face for using the C word in front of me, or hit in the face for treating me like that, I definitely would not have been going home in that limo with him. I would have gone home with one of my friends. And if any one of my friends was dating a guy like that, I would have definitely told him off and made sure she did not go out with him again.
Well, sure you're going to say that. But is that how you really are going to act?
That is most absolutely how I'm going to act.
Oh,
I
doubt it. I
would never let anybody treat me or my friends like that.
Okay, let me ask you
something. And I think you are a complete idiot. And it's your fault and people like you treating guys or teaching guys to act like this. that makes all these guys assholes, that makes them get rejected.
I totally
that
agree.
Makes them want to kill themselves.
Why would the guy act like that? It's going to get rejected by a girl, then he's going to want to blow his brains out.
No, they're all these guys that want to kill themselves are the guys that go, oh, can I get you a flower? And then the girl treats her like,
every girl I've ever known has never bragged about a guy that acts like that.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Never, ever. All the girls that I hear, I hear them bragging about guys.
Right.
Oh, well, he gave me flowers. Or, you know, he was so nice, he really complimented me on something. They don't
are you
he
angry?
Ignored me all night. Didn't even give
can
me a flower.
Something?
Language.
Horror story
Dana, language. Please watch your language.
You know,
sorry.
You know why she's angry? Because she just found out about Dramamine. 3 years of gagging and...
Okay! Sorry.
You are ridiculous. I really hope that nobody takes your advice because they're going to end up in the wrong place in life.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, so everybody hung up. That's fine. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.